Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Johnson here with Bethany Corey and Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Hey, we started recording at 10 a.m. here Central Time. I checked with the lovely wife, Tasha Johnson, Mrs. Johnson, I call her all the time when I say, she comes home and I say, how are you, Mrs. Johnson? I checked with her to find out if it would be okay to have a cocktail at 10 a.m. And since I was recording with Lisa Murphy and Bethany, it was okay. And
you so said, I'm about, hell no.
I'm about two-thirds of the way through my eraser, and it's delightful.
Well, what's good. An eraser? Hmm? What's that? An eraser?
An eraser? Okay, so first you start with a tumbler full of a rocks glass full of crushed ice. I'm not talking finely crushed ice. I'm talking roughly crushed. You want kind of big chunks. We're not talking snow cone crushed here.
Right. We're talking like ice pick and a hammer crushed.
Yeah, I've actually been doing artisan crushed ice lately. I've got an ice crushing bag and then crushing it with a wooden mallet, working on different consistencies.
Real?
What?
This is real?
Yes.
You're actually doing that? I couldn't tell if it was a joke.
No, he's so problem-free these days. Right? He's working on his ice cube chipping skills.
Well, I have found that different beverages, I mean, the different ice consistency is a different thing. And so I've been really enjoying this. Okay, so you get that ice, you fill up with the ice, and then, I don't know, then you add in some Kahlua. You know, if you're doing it by the recipe, there's a measurement. But then on top of that, you add some vodka. And then you top it off with club soda, and you don't mix it up or anything. You end up with kind of those layers, and then you just sip it through one of these little drink straws, one of the little narrow bowl drink straws, and it's quite delightful.
Well, it's funny that those are the ingredients. I happen to have all of them, so maybe at our next break, I'll go make myself one.
Make yourself an eraser. Eraser is short. I guess originally it's a brain eraser is what they call it, but it's shorthand as an eraser. And
it's a white Russian without the cream.
Yeah. So Bethany brought us a topic. The topic is that sometimes when you're working in early learning, you end up having to take care of the parents. We'll get into it, but maybe one of the ways to do that is at the end of the day, you offer them an eraser.
I wondered where you were going with that. I actually had a dad that he would always pick up last. Always, because he knew if it was just him and me, and at the time my ex Tom and I, because we ran it together, he knew that we would open the cupboard because it was just his child there. And so he would always be the last dad on pickup day, and he'd be like, is there gonna be time to have a little bit of the cupboard? And that was code for have a little bit of the whiskey. And yeah, so that's fun. So sometimes I think you're correct in that.
Did he ever restock your whiskey for you?
He did. Okay. He did. He also played the bagpipes. So he would occasionally come in and do concerts for, I say that loosely. Uh-huh. He would come in, he'd wear all of his garb, and he would play bagpipes for the kids. The neighbors love it when you play bagpipes.
Yeah.
especially when you had a little bit of whiskey first, I'm sure. I mean, I think the only I think it's required if you're going to play bagpipes that you have to be liquored up a little bit, isn't it?
A little bit.
So.
And the audience.
Everybody involved, the children, everybody. Yes. So Bethany, roll us into this topic. I'm guessing there's a story that comes with it.
Well, I've just been thinking about it a lot lately. My original group of Children's Borough Babs have all moved on to school. And so I was like, I've been in the last couple months in the transition of like families leaving and then new families starting. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of hand holding of mamas, and especially with COVID happening during this time of like what decisions need to be made and things like that. And I think like I think it's been on my mind because even if I wasn't in childcare, I'm a caregiver and I just have to take care of everybody around me. And so that can be like an extra burden on my end that I'm just like, I absorb all of that. And I'm like, yes, let me be your therapist and sit here and walk through these problems.
I'm wondering, was there more, and I'm guessing you're going to say it was probably equal, but was there more hand-holding necessary for the exiting or the incoming? Or would you say it was a balance of both?
Well, I mean, I would say, of course, like, I think it's a balance, but it's so different, right? Like the parents leaving, especially because like they were all going to kindergarten. And so it was like, well, do we even do this? Like, and I'm like, you don't have to send them to kindergarten.
Leave them with me for another year.
But then there's also like the people who require more of that. Like one of my old moms, basically from the time she called me the first time before her kids started. Yes.
You said old mom. Does that mean she's been with you for a long time or she was literally an old mom?
You knew what she meant.
She was with me for a long time.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
And yeah,
you're welcome.
And
she's not that old.
95.
Man, the older I get, the younger moms get. That's rough. They're like babies. Anyways, so she was always a mess. Like from the first phone call, she needed like
extra attention.
She needed support to make it through. And I feel like as childcare providers, like we're there at like, this is a huge deal for families having childcare. And like, it's also when you're transitioning in or out of childcare, like you have that extra stress. So like anything else going on in your life. So like one mom, she was just a mess all the time. And like, we were always, my husband would like job coach her. And like, I mean, it was just wild times. But then the other mom, she was like, yep. All right. Bye. See you later. Things have been good. We'll work it out. I don't have to pay you anymore. But it's just interesting how like intimately your lives connect. You know, like I have a new family with me that I think it's just been 2 weeks now. And like within the first 5 hours, like I knew every detail of their life. And I don't know, I feel like a big support even though we're strangers.
Yeah. Well, I almost think that when you do, especially when you do family childcare, I think you have to almost intentionally be ready to kickstart that level of intimacy.
Yeah.
And not even by kickstart in the sense that I'm the one kickstarting it, but you have to, I think, be ready to receive that, like jumping into the deep end of information that they're going to share or things you need to know about them. It's a little bit more of an aggressive get to know speed dating session. And I think you got to be willing to receive that. Not every parent and family and grown up is going to need that, I think, from you as a provider, but I think you kind of have to make space for it in case they do. Cause I'm thinking in my head, like, the law of thirds, like I'm reflecting on all the families that I had in my family childcare. And I really do think that the third of them were that, like, boom, here's everything I know. Here's my copy of my social security number. Here's my mother's maiden name. Here's the bank account. You know, here's, here's my ATM in case there's an emergency and you need to da, da, da. And then there's the little bit slower to warm up, but eventually gets to that level. And then there's always initially that kind of, you know, what is the minimum of what we need to know to get this relationship started? And we kind of do that little more of a true warm-up dance.
I always find it interesting, the families that don't invite me to birthday parties, which I'm just like, not that I care, but it's just like, I feel like that's like another indicator of how intimate your relationship is going to be as family and child care provider, because it's like some families, like they're here 2 weeks and it's their kid's birthday and you're invited. And then, you know, I had one family, I was never invited to any birthday party. And I'm like, that's kind of,
for you, that's a barometer, like a little,
yeah. Bit. Like,
did you go?
Yeah. I think I've always gone to birthday parties I've been invited to.
Huh. Never in 26 plus years as a caregiver did I do such a thing. I've gone to a couple graduations.
Were you ever invited?
Yeah. Oh. No. No, I just
they didn't like you that much. The reason I never went is because I was never invited.
No, we got invited to lots of stuff. I just felt like, well, first, I don't like that stuff, period.
Me neither.
And so just the way I choose to live my life is not to go to a lot of birthday parties or anniversary parties or weddings, because I figure they're gonna get divorced anyway and that kind of stuff. So I mean, I just never been my thing, but and so I kind of gravitated towards the families that didn't invite, because then I didn't have a reason to feel bad, because I did feel bad about not going to the stuff. Oh. And I usually had an excuse. I was usually out of town doing a training or something, because they were usually on the weekends and stuff, so I usually had a viable excuse. But I never, I that's probably just a temperament thing, huh? Lisa, what?
I used to do them at the house. To me, it was just, I would just say, just do it here. So
nobody's taken me up on that, but I've offered.
After nap on one random day, it would be your birthday party. And often it was just us, you know, and maybe the kid's mom or dad would show up, or they would say, you know, do it a little closer to pickup time, and some of the other family's parents would come by or whatever. But we just kind of rolled it into the day. And I don't know if it was just that particular group, but they did Halloween at my house. Like, so they would come, because if you think about it, at least in that particular neighborhood, they knew my neighbors more than they knew their own neighbors, you know, right? With no judgment, but they were hanging out at my house 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, they saw us walking around. We'd walk to the park. We knew the kids from being at the park. So it kind of made sense that those particular years anyway, you know, for trick or treat time, come knock on the neighbor's doors of the people that you see on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, because I mean, for a lot of kids, they're spending more of their waking hours with in their caregiver's neighborhood than in the neighborhood they live in. So that makes perfect sense.
I drew the line at Christmas, though. I'm like, no, you got to be the boss of your own Christmas. I'll host Halloween. I'll do your birthday party here. But the rest, you're on.
You're cooking a 40-pound turkey for Thanksgiving.
I think I did do a Thanksgiving once or twice.
Of course you did.
Because I just like to cook. I'll just feed you.
Yeah. At least I'll feed anybody anytime for any reason. So is part of the need for this caring for the parents, I find myself, I'm drifting off camera. I mean, I think families are more disconnected from family. I mean, they move out of town and everything, so they don't have that immediate contact. And so you kind of become their support system in a lot of situations.
I agree 100%. And that was actually a theme of conversation in the mixed ages paper that I recently put together, was one of the reasons, another one of the thousands of benefits of mixed ages was that extended kind, not a surrogate for the family, but in essence it is of the extended family, to have other adults, have other children.
Yeah, it ends up being an extended family / extended relationship. Mm-hmm. That just kind
support.
Of
support network too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what could programs do, whether your family child care program or a center, to, I mean, is this a relationship you want to, how do you be more supportive of this relationship with the families? Because you end up doing it for, like we said, different families at different levels. But it is something you need to formalize and have, I mean, what am I trying to say? How do we become better at doing this for the families we need to do this for, and better at identifying the families that need this so that we can, because I'm thinking about consistency and just ease of operation. I mean, because we're all living our lives and we want to, I mean, like Bethany, you end up, a lot of people drawn to this profession are natural born caregivers. The downside of that is you end up draining yourself sometimes. And so you gotta have some idea of where to draw the line and just kind of limits to put on things and those kind of things. So is there a way we can be more systematic about this, or does trying to be more systematic about it break it?
I would say that. I think our black and white, maybe business oriented brain might want to have like some kind of outline in our parent handbook about it. But the reality is that, you know, what family A might need, quote, quote, from me is different than what family B might need, right? And different than family C, and different than, it's different. So, you know, I think during orientation and those first tours that they come through, and just getting to know the vibe of the person who's walking into your home or into your center, I think you might get a good indicator, especially if you've been doing this for work for a while. You know, you kind of get a sense of reading people and verbal hints and verbal and nonverbal things that they might be sharing with you, or information that they choose to not share with you right away. You know, I think making global statements like, you know, we're here to support you. We're here to support you can be what's consistent. Yeah. Because what you need might be different or very case-based or could be very acute. You know, somebody got sick and, you know, we might need to rally up some dinners, you know, for this family for a week, for 2 weeks, which is different than, you know, somebody's house burning down, right? And now is there a way for us to be of service during this kind of crisis?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've talked about it on the show before. We had the one little girl, mom ended up having to go into for surgery, and she had nobody in her life that could watch her daughter while she was in the hospital for 3 days. And so the little girl stayed with us.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not something we'd planned on doing or would do probably every weekend. But in this situation, I mean, for the welfare of the family and the welfare of the little girl, it ended up being, seemed to be the right thing to do.
Six months later, she accused
me of molesting her daughter and called DA Protective Services on us. And because her daughter was so attached to us, so I guess you get shot in the face, not even the foot, you get shot in the face sometimes for being helpful for people, but I'm not bitter.
Oh, liar. Well, if I would have kept my mouth shut and not chimed in if I had known.
Well, finish chiming.
No, I was going to say, but before you put the, you know, sometimes you do get shot in the foot, in the face. I was going to say, you don't necessarily, because something happens once or twice because of an immediate need, doesn't mean you advertise it, right? It doesn't mean that it becomes now a bullet point on your laundry list of services, right? Yeah. It's something that, due to the relationship that you have, you might or might not have even, you know, you might have been more inclined to find that third party for the girl to spend some time as opposed to being it yourself. But it still is coming under the umbrella of being of service, of being here for you to some degree, but each individual situation might determine the extent or actually what that specifically looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when, when baby Lily was born, one of my favorite human beings walking the earth today, her big brother, one of my other favorite human beings walking the earth today, was with us for a couple hours longer than our normal day ran, and we ended up bringing him to the hospital to meet his baby sister, mostly because I wanted to hold the newborn. That's not something we put in the handbook that, hey, if you give birth, we'll keep, but it's something we did.
Right.
Those kind of things. Bethany?
I was just thinking in that I think it's a good reminder that we're not just here, like being a child care provider, you're not just there for the child. Like it's the whole, I don't know. I feel like it's the whole family, you know, like I know the older siblings of the kids. I mean, like, with my personality, like, I know all the grandparents' names and the big, you know, what the big sister likes to do and all of that kind of stuff. And so it's like, you will have sort of like weird intimate bleed overs into the family at times. But I feel like that's part of building that relationship with the child, that you have to have it with the family too.
Yeah.
And I think that comes more in your face when you do family child care. In a center, I think in the center, at least when I first started, there was almost a really big boundary of, you know, I was allowed, quote unquote, to be really interactive with the child, but the director somehow assumed the responsibility for the grownups that kind of came with the kid. But then as my career evolved and as just what we knew about family and systems and dynamics and just situations, you know, I actually straight up started saying at gigs, those days are over. Like you need to be, it's not okay to just be good with the kid. You know, you need to figure out a way to be developing relationships with everybody. You can't just kind of default and give it all to the administrator. But definitely with family child care. I mean, that really was, there was no other administrative person that I could go like farm that really obnoxious dad and his attitude out to. I needed to figure out how to interact with this man because he was going to be picking up his child on a somewhat regular basis. You know, so that was a learning curve for all of us. You know, there wasn't anybody he could go tattle on me to. And nor was there someone I could go tattle on him to. We had to figure out how to make it work together, which was not a life lesson I would have gotten if I had stayed in a center.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons this caring for the parents comes about is, and I mean, we've talked about this before, is they trust you with their child, so then they trust you with all their other stuff too. So, I mean, both of you probably know, I mean, I certainly do, heard more about what was going on in the family than I really wanted to know or was comfortable with. And then it got really hard because sometimes, I mean, there would be a divorce going on or those kind of things. And I'm hearing bits and pieces about it from the different main players in those dramas. And that makes the job really, really challenging when all you want to do is focus on all you think that is your job is focusing on the needs of the child when it is really, really all that other stuff too.
And it's a reminder of the boundaries, right? You still need to have an understanding, right? There might be a situation where the boundary gets a little stretched, but it's being stretched intentionally and mindfully, not because you're feeling forced or not because you're feeling some kind of obligation or it's making you uncomfortable, but even acknowledging, you know, I am going a little bit beyond what I typically usually do here. I would at least like that acknowledged, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be going grocery shopping for everybody who comes here on a daily basis, but I do realize right now you're needing something extra and I can give that to you. And there's a difference between going above and beyond for one situation or a couple times or whatnot, then it becoming an actual habit, right? Because then that, I think then resentment sneaks in, you know, and you start thinking about, you know, feeling that the relationship becomes unbalanced in a power-wise or control-wise, you know, lots of dynamic, lots of interpersonal dynamics.
Yeah, and just figuring out for yourself where you need to draw lines for your own sanity is an important part of it.
That's a skill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, the birthday party thing is, that was one of my lines. And we would invite people over for stuff. We had a deck party or something. We didn't invite families. And, but I just, I don't want to go to your house. It was just my thing. That's who I am. So there we are.
There we are.
Bethany, any final thoughts? Yeah.
No, nothing. My brain is blank.
So, I mean, it is part of the job. I think in family childcare, those relationships with the families are a little bit more, I don't know if it's the right word, but intimate. Because you're the one that's always there. In a center, there's somebody, you're there at drop-off time, there's somebody there at pickup time, or the director runs interference. And so a lot of times those relationships don't get as deep and as involved as maybe they do in a family childcare. I think it's really important to know where to draw the line. I think it's also important to be willing to put yourself out there sometimes, even though it's above and beyond maybe for the welfare of the child and family you're working with. And I also think that for some people it comes naturally, and some people have to really, really work at it and put in an effort to do that right.
And I think this is probably what I'm about to say might be a segue into a whole other conversation, but for family child care providers who have their own family within their home, that's a whole other, you know, kind of a balancing act of making sure that, you know, well, making sure, that's kind of a weird phrase, but, you know, am I still giving, am I unintentionally leaving my own family out while I'm in such service to the families who are coming here for the job, for the childcare, and how am I making sure that I don't, you know, neglect or unintentionally start overlooking my own?
Yeah. Yeah. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.